So you've recently undertaken a video ethnographic study of what it is like to labour in a hospital ward. What's the reasoning behind a video study, first off?
Well, we believe that doing so would really enable a in-depth and more detailed view of what was going on for the woman and her supporters and the midwives who cared for the woman, because it gives an ability to stop and look at more closely the interactions between the physical environment and the experiences of the users of the space, which wouldn't be quite as possible if one were to just take a survey or make notes, because a lot of what's happening is on a more subconscious level. So this would give us a deeper, broader view that we could take back and reflect with the participants, which is what we did in our case, allowing them to view the video with us and interviewing them about their what's going on for you in that moment of the video, and letting them talk as they felt to answer the questions. It was it's something that's becoming more and more popular in detailed, complex studies.
You went really in depth with one particular labour that went for 15 hours. As a researcher, what was that experience like, being in the labour ward for 15 hours?
Oh, it's very ethnographic. It's quick ethnography, because certainly they had actually been labouring at home before they went to the hospital, so for them it was even much longer of a situation. But because they were choosing to go as low intervention as possible, they wanted the birth process to go as it should. And for me to come along as an alongsider, it's not quite an insider, I'm not one of the family members, and it's certainly not an outsider, because I'm a woman who experiences birth and I know what it's like in the setting. I was able to sort of tuck myself away in the corner. It's rather uncomfortable at times to be squatting low and staying awake in the middle of the night, but I was just so fascinated to see how it would keep unfolding, and I really value the experience quite a bit, and I hope to do similar work in the future.
So you've just done one family so far?
Well, the birth unit design study is the larger study that's still being under analysis. We've had six women who consented to be filmed. They had their births also filmed in a similar interview process. But for my particular portion of the analysis for my PhD, I'm just doing the one case study of this one family. She had quite a few supporters and quite a few interactions with the environment that she was in, and it's allowing for very, very rich data set to be analyzed.
So you, as a researcher, were present for the labor, and then you interviewed the woman who and her supporters who were in labor afterwards while watching the video. So you're asking them, you were pausing the video and saying, you know, what did you feel like here? What sort of responses are you getting?
Oh, they all really seemed to enjoy it. We interviewed people where they felt most comfortable. In our cases, it was for the woman and her supporters. It was in her home. So she spoke one session with her mom, who was her supporter, and another time with her husband. We also interviewed the midwives to give us some more contextual understanding in the hospital setting where they worked. But giving them the chance to pause and look back, I believe from what they said, allowed them to really get a better understanding of what they had gone through that they weren't aware of at the time. There's certainly a lot of human responses to seeing oneself on video. So after the first few minutes of getting used to watching themselves, they really were beginning to notice how the design was influencing their experience. For instance, the husband at the beginning of the study signed the consent forms and said, oh, sure, we can do this study, but don't we just go in there and do what needs to be done? Well, you know, what does this space matter about our experiences, just to paraphrase? But towards the end of his interview, he was listing design recommendation after design recommendation of how to make this space more user-friendly and a place that's going to help them feel more calm and in control and allow the normal birth experience to occur.
This woman in the case that you've been looking at, her main supporter was her mother. How did her mother feel in the space?
She was very focused at the beginning of doing her job, which she defined as preventing distractions. So she tried her hardest to ignore the things that were bothering her. Although on reflection, watching the videos, she was noting, well, I felt quite fearful that I might bump into the equipment and things. There's so much steel everywhere, and well, why can't there be some beautiful images on the wall to look at? So later on, she did see all that and wished it was there. But during the course of the labor, she was very much attuned with her daughter and did the most beautiful job of being her supporter. It was, you know, one of the highlights of the experience is watching the connections that they had. It was something that's, I think she may, hopefully she'll have the chance to do with her other daughters again, mm-hmm. because she was a natural.
And what about the father in this case? What sort of role did he play?
Well, the whole family had decided ahead of time that it was women's business for them to let the women be the supporters. So he would just be out in the waiting room, not participating, just being a passive supporter. But throughout the course of time, as it was going over the whole night, the next morning, he ebbed and flowed with his worry and anxiousness about how his wife was doing. So he would sort of play a role of intermediary, check in with the midwives, come into the room. And when he'd come in and check, because he's not familiar with the normal processes of labor, he did appear quite anxious and bring that energy into the room that was disruptive, yet is meant out of the goodness of his heart and care for his wife. So that's what I'm finding with my results, is that if the design of the space was done to support people like him who are anxious but want to be close by, it's very possible to make a family alcove or something along those lines, which has been suggested by Shin and Maxwell many years ago as a good idea for birth unit design.
So could you describe what the room was like that this woman was giving birth in and compare it to what the ideal would be?
That's a good question. It's certainly on the surface looks like it might be a good room because it's quite large and there's an ensuite bathroom with a bathtub available. But when you spend the time in the room, it's very evident that the hospital bed is the primary focus when you walk in, which tends to encourage people's behavior to go in there and be a patient rather than go in and be somebody who can feel empowered. Upon looking at the space more, trying to settle into it, there's no storage for the people's belongings. The view out the window is rather nice, but there's difficulties with sunlight coming in and warming up the space too hot, or so those aspects of how big the windows should be are just one of the many aspects of design that needs to be analyzed more closely and get a better idea of what would suit the whole. The optimal design I could spend hours talking about, so but you just imagine it's not quite a home. We don't want to just put frills on the bed and say that's it. It's much better now, isn't it? It's a place where this is a certain activity that you do a few times in your life, and it's different than all the other activities. It needs to suit the needs of the woman in labor and her supporters in a way that's unique for the setting. And some might say it's salon-like. You know, you go to a spa. Spa-like might be good, but that's veering in the right direction of what an optimal birth unit is like. And it's beginning to be more of a reality that we can describe what it looks like. The work of Marilyn Furrer and Athena Hammond and myself are beginning to piece together what those design guidelines are really all about.
So I know you've mentioned that you want to facilitate a room that supports the supporters. What exactly does that mean?
Well, that's what my study undertook to decide, well, how do supporters navigate their role in the designed birth environment? And it means different things for different people. But if the room is designed in such a way that one feels like they have permission to be there and to do the work that needs to be done, it allows for the space to have safety for their belongings. It allows for personalization. If the temperature isn't quite right, if the lighting is not quite right, there's a way to control that and feel like they are allowed to do that. There's quite a few findings coming out of my study that say that the supporter themselves needs support and not necessarily somebody there holding their hand. The room itself can physically support them, giving a place to rest if they need to, allowing for easy access to food and nourishment and toilet facilities, things that they shouldn't have to feel like they're leaving the woman to do those. Wandering up the hallways to find a vending machine, for instance, is probably not ideal. But normalizing the experience and having a little kitchenette where they can make some tea, for instance, would be something that allows them to feel like, okay, this is this is normal, we can make this happen. Another feature that would make a lot of sense to me is having positive distractors, which is important in the evidence environment behavior research, things that can allow the mind to take a break from what it's doing by focusing on something visual, for instance, some natural videos on the, you know, playing so that it catches your eye and helps you restore your attention when things are getting stressful or tiring. That's one example.